Hey, thanks, Kane. 807 now on FM Talk 106.5. And this segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. If you're a business owner, you already know the right hire can have a huge impact on your business. That's why it's crucial that you make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates that you can reach. You could try posting on job boards, but do you really know who sees those posts? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every single day to grow professionally and explore new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. That's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, if you head over to LinkedIn.com/WAVH, they'll give you $50 off your first job post. Once again, that's LinkedIn.com/WAVH for $50 off. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
All right, 808 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Love to hear from you at 343-0106. We have had a lot of suggestions this morning on our text line, the ways that Mark Zuckerberg can, you know, make ends meet now that he, you know, lost, was it $15 billion yesterday?
Ooh.
He only has like $34 billion left. And I, you know, we've seen, thermostat is up at Facebook headquarters and at the Zuckerberg house. I think he's called his, I think Priscilla, whatever his wife, I think it's Priscilla for some reason.
Gotta figure this out.
He called home and he said, we're cutting the premium channels out of the cable package.
You think he was like, I wonder how much I can get for that ring now. Right. Priscilla is her name.
Yes. Once in a while, remember things for some reason.
But, you know, she pulls her own weight, though, so I'm sure she's contributing.
Well, she is, and they together are having a yard sale this weekend. The Zuckerberg house trying to make it. Because 30, who can...
Wait, would it be a yard sale or an estate sale?
Well, no, it'd be a yard sale at an estate sale, because estate sale means, like, I think you're dead or something like that.
Well, so. I mean, based on these financial books.
Yeah, I mean, who can do... I mean, $34 billion. Who can make ends meet with that?
Hey,
it's tough times in this world and with inflationary pressures.
$34
billion is not what it used to be.
BOGO. That's what...
It's a lot of... like us. Like,
it's all relative. I mean, the man lost nearly half of his value. So it is time for him to tighten the belt, I think.
And people are saying, hey, what's going to happen with Facebook? I saw somebody linked us a story where there's at least one capital investment group that owns some $11 million worth of Facebook shares pushing for Zuckerberg to be out at Facebook for head. I don't know if that gets much traction, because I'll say this without having any, you know, I have no degree in finance. You know, I tell y'all when I talk about equities and all that on the show that I'm probably do the opposite of what I do, and you probably do fine. I don't know. But I'm a contrarian, so that just makes you do the normal thing. But I don't think this is the death of Facebook. I'm sorry. I think rumors of Facebook's demise are a bit premature.
I think so. And I would not throw Zuckerberg under the bus as much as you want and be upset with their privacy, with the whole Cambridge Analytica and everything. But I prefer these monster companies to have a face. I don't want some... You know,
I agree.
Unknown corporation taken over, because look who took all of the heat for Facebook thing.
Well, somebody has to be the sacrificial lamb to be, you know, go to Capitol Hill and let all the senators and House members get their 5 minutes of calling them out.
But I like having, like, the Zuckerberg and the Elon Musk. I like having someone who has to be accountable. If it's just some company with, people running it in the background and you don't really know who the face of the company is, I think it's a little harder to get the truth out of them.
You know, it was interesting yesterday, too, with that big drop for Facebook. It was not a – people say, oh, well, the whole market was down. The whole market was not down. And tech stocks were not – you know, I mean, Apple had a big – you know, had earnings. I mean, that was – so it wasn't like, you know, sometimes an individual company will be down with it and the whole sector will be down. And you go, you know what, that's not management. That's something for the sector. This is, this is different. This absolutely Facebook taking it on the chin. Of course, my contrarian nature just has me, you know, like somebody circling around like a shark trying to figure out when it's time to buy, when the bottom is, because I don't think the idea of Facebook is gone. There are so many grandparents yet to have signed up to see their kids, grandkids, that Facebook will be here for quite a while. Also, two stories. I opened Drudge there during the news break. Thought this was interesting, the compare and contrast. I think this really may tell the story politically for this midterm, and maybe, depending on what happens, tell it for 2020. Okay, So CNN's story up here, they're continuing Russia. And they even have a graphic for this. It's like the American flag and then the Russian Federation flag combined into one with a slash through it or something. Mm-hmm. It says, Cohen claims Trump knew in advance of the 2016 Trump Tower meeting. Okay. Michael Cohen, President Donald Trump's former personal attorney, mm-hmm. claims that then-candidate Trump knew in advance about the 2016 meeting in Trump Tower in which Russians were expected to offer his campaign dirt on Hillary Clinton. This, according to sources with knowledge telling CNN, Cohen is willing to make the assertion to the special counsel Robert Mueller, according to sources. Once again, this is all just leak stuff. Cohen's claim would contradict repeated denials by Trump, Donald Trump Jr., their lawyers, and other administration officials who have said the president knew nothing about the Trump Tower meeting until he is approached about it by the New York Times in July of 17. Cohen alleges that he was present, along with several others, when Trump was informed of the Russians' offer by Trump Jr. By Cohen's account, Trump approved going ahead with the meeting with the Russians, according to sources. Then they go on to say, here's CNN's, you know, they said, to be clear, these sources said Cohen does not have evidence, such as audio recordings, to corroborate his claim, but he's willing to attest this to his account. So that comes one, two, three, fourth paragraph down mm-hmm. before they get to that there's not evidence here. And what I'm saying is this one story, which is one of many stories about the Russia investigation. So that's one story. And people say, oh, well, there you go. That's going to be insurmountable political headwinds for President Trump. Click the story nearby from CNBC.com. Second quarter GDP jumps 4.1% for best pace in nearly 4 years. Now, I'm going to...
Mm-hmm. I already know where you're going with this.
Right. I'm going to put this on the scales of justice here, or the scales of political opinion, public opinion, and ask which one moves the scale more. I mean, James Carville, mm-hmm. of course, during the Clinton years, he expertly said, and he's been quoted so many times, it's the economy, stupid.
That was a
James
great
Carville.
Impression.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, my James Carville. It's economy, stupid.
Because basically, when you don't mess with people's money.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things from the Clinton years, mm-hmm. is when the economy is strong, a lot of things move to a back burner. Mm-hmm. And if you're somebody who believes that there's some blood in the turnip here on this Russian thing, or you think it's the biggest witch hunt ever, either way, it's a political headwind for a candidate. But when you have growth like this, gross domestic product grew at a solid 4.1% pace in the second quarter, its best pace since 2014, boosting hopes that the economy is ready to break out of its decade-long slumber. The number matched expectations from economists surveyed by Reuters and was boosted by a surge in consumer spending and business investment. Stock market futures edged lower on the news while the government bond yields move lower. It's the fastest rate of growth since the 4.9% in the third quarter of 2014 and the third best growth rate since the Great Recession. In addition to the strong second quarter, the Commerce Department revised the first quarter reading up from 2% to 2.2%. So, those two stories, which one's more important to the people that will be voting in 2018 and in 2020? I'd like to hear from you. We'll talk about it next. Right, 821 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad you're here. Planning your weekend. I got an idea for you. The safe thing for locals to do, of course, if you're going across the bay, is to take the causeway versus the bayway. And the additional jewel in the causeway crown is the original Oyster House. And I know the original Oyster House at the foot of 59 in Gulf Shores, but my backyard location, causeway,
mm-hmm.
pull the boat up there, especially coming up later this year into the fall when the fall fishing gets so good on the causeway. It's a real treat to get out there and chase speckled trout and redfish and bass and do all that, and then bring folks in. We go get lunch at the original Oyster House and then mm-hmm. go back out and go fishing.
Sounds like a perfect day to me.
Yeah, and especially when people who are, like, we've gotten spoiled around here. There's so many restaurants and places, you know, that are on the water. You bring people in from upstate or out of town or some of my kinfolk, and they go fishing, and then we pull up and we go inside the original Oyster House and get a meal and come back out, and they're kind of like, oh man, like, look at this.
You, took
you got
to
it
Mars.
Made, boy.
Yeah.
Like, you got it made. We're moving down here. I said, please don't move down. We'll keep y'all back up there. But it's, you know, it's one of the many reasons to check out the causeway location by boat or by the causeway. And also, from now through the end of August, your chance to snap a picture of the sunset at the causeway location or the Gulf Shores location and post that sunset pic from either inside the restaurant or right outside. Post that to the Facebook page, facebook.com/originaloysterhouse, and hashtag hashtag OOH Sunset. All right. Then you will be in competition with other people snapping pictures. And the winner wins dinner for two, up to a $50 value, plus a tote bag full of goodies from the original Oyster House. And the nice thing is, too, when you post your pic, let your friends know about it on Facebook so they can do likes and help promote it, because they will be watching for those extra votes, those up votes, to get the winner. So you're checking them out today, tomorrow, over the weekend, anytime around sunset. Snap that picture, post it to the Facebook page, and hopefully win with our friends from the original Oyster House.
Do you think that they'd say winner, winner, shrimp dinner?
Most likely, if they were smart, they would, yes. I think they would.
Yum.
Also on our list, and thank you for the continuing concern. You know, as a community, we are concerned and engaged and want to help people, especially, you know, in tough times. This audience has always come together in tough times. And I sure appreciate what people are, you know, coming up with ideas for the Zuckerbergs. Trying to save a dollar or two here. I'm not sure if the GoFundMe page is
trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents.
That's right. Can we search if there is, if somebody with a good sense of humor has put up a GoFundMe page for Mark Zuckerberg?
There has to be, right?
I mean, they're, you know, poor guy. I mean, he did lose. Listen, he lost close to the annual GDP of Iceland yesterday. Now, it's on paper, of course. You're not locked in until you sell. But he does have, at least the way I understand it, $34 billion left to make ends meet here. And, you know.
Well, that's not stopping him from running room to room and turning the lights off this morning.
That's right. Oh, he's sounding like me. Yes. why are we lighting a room nobody's in? He's also cut, I think he cut HBO and maybe Showtime.
You think he took the handles off the refrigerator so his kids can't just stand there and stare and come up with an idea of what they want to eat?
You had never seen that before, have you?
No, not at all.
Well,
not
I would like to point out, though, in fairness, I am I've just recently turned 46 years old, and I do that too sometimes. And when you go back and check the refrigerator again in like 20 minutes,
yes,
because what the magical refrigerator fairy would have put something in there, I'm acting like
the swap-a-rooney.
Yes.
You know they've created refrigerators where you can look inside of it without opening.
Yes.
That was for you.
Yeah, that'd be, then I'd just stand there. It'd be smears from my nose
fog,
on the front of
no
it.
No fog.
Stand there staring at it. All right, so that's what we talk a little Zuckerberg here. Also, yes.
There is a tweet from Larry Sabato. He says, will you join me in starting a GoFundMe page for Mark Zuckerberg?
Sabato did that? He
Sabato,
started it?
That's right. Yes. Well, I don't know if he officially started it. I know they were trying to get the wheels rolling yesterday, but this one person tweeted at Sabato after that saying, give him a Sarah McLachlan ad with the arms of an angel music showing the many sad faces of Zuckerberg.
Y'all know what we're talking about there? The animal commercial, Sarah McLachlan with all the real sappy music in the background?
Yes.
The commercial where my wife has to leave the room or I have to change the channel every time it comes on?
So we have that music.
Mm-hmm.
And just pictures of Zuckerberg, like in his hoodie,
looking sad. Maybe when he's testifying in front of Congress,
and maybe Alanis Morissette would be more behind that.
But we want to make it, you know, we want to make
when
it.
He's testifying.
We want to make it very sad, and so people give of themselves to the Zuckerberg family in these tough times, because you know, $34 billion is not what it used to be.
Doesn't he already wear the same outfit every day anyway?
Yeah, pretty much.
How can he change that?
When do you think the last time Zuckerberg drank water out of the faucet was? Do you think he has ever? I mean, since his college days?
Yes,
he went to Harvard, right?
He did.
Yeah, there's water fountains there, I'm sure.
Yeah, faucets. But I just don't see, Zuckerberg having ever, maybe since he was a kid, drink out of an actual water faucet.
These are questions that are dominating some part of your brain.
Yes. Okay. Well, now they are, now that he's lost so much money.
It's tough stuff. All right, Ed, we'll take your text. And whenever my internet starts working again, I'll read through your text.
So you were celebrating National
Chicken Wing Day.
Right. I just saw this email. Did you know that Pringles has a Nashville hot chicken flavor?
Mm-hmm.
You know about it?
I haven't had it, but I've heard about it.
Okay, I'm sorry. They just popped up, and wow, we have taken this to a whole new level.
What, that there's chips with the... That's akin
too
to...
Much.
Well, I'm not a big fan of many flavored chips. It's a very small list of chips I like with
sour
flavor.
Sour cream?
No, do not like it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan too much.
But...
Maybe
the
one chip, maybe one.
But the one, it's the way... I mean, this was for Nashville Hot Chicken on the chips, and it's the way I... You know, like when I don't have money for crawfish. I eat Cajun crawtaters from Zapp's.
Do you?
Because it's like a poor man's version of getting some crawfish, so I like those. It's just like when, like Dreamland Barbecue, when yes. I was a student at University of Alabama, we wouldn't have the money always to have the slab of ribs, uh-huh. but they would sell you the sauce. And then we would have Ooh. The Wonder Bread at the house.
And dip it.
Yeah, so we would do that. Same way I've done that before with poor man's oysters, where you mix up the ketchup and the horseradish, make your own cocktail sauce, and just put it on crackers.
Done that a bunch.
You're nodding.
Oh, yeah.
No, I've never heard about that.
You've never done that?
No, but I will tell you this. I don't care where you are in life. You remember when you didn't have something, and sometimes when you have it, once you've, you know, you can do for yourself, it brings back great memories of your struggle. You know, yes. like, I love, and it's very strange.
I'll still do
one
it,
of the
though.
Kids loves, in the house, loves ramen noodles. I love ramen noodles.
My daughter's nuts for ramen noodles.
But I don't put the flavor on. I just eat the plain noodles, and then I put my own seasoning.
Weird.
No, hush your mouth. I put my own seasoning on, so I don't allow their whatever that concoction is in the silver little packet.
That's where all the goodness is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. I put some like freshly cracked pepper. That's really good. And sometimes some jalapenos. It's very good. You have to be creative. And I remember those days very well.
Jalapenos are good on everything. I'm sorry, I was reading a response here from Mobile County Health Department because I asked the question earlier on the air when this Vibrio case, when you were reporting in headlines mm-hmm. coming from the Mobile River. And I was just, and they, like you said, because of HIPAA laws, they can't give out certain information. But what I'm trying to figure out, this is kind of a nerd portion of the show, nerd alert, but they say the Mobile River. Now, the Mobile River goes from right there at Pinto Pass and Little Sand Island. That's the mouth of the Mobile River, you know, just down from Austell, just down from
yes.
the convention center. That's the terminus of the Mobile River there, mm-hmm. and it goes the whole way up to where the Alabama and Tom Bigby come together, Davenger Strait, mm-hmm. the confluence.
That and terminus.
Yes. So from the confluence to the terminus is a quite extensive river. And so why this is interesting is Vibrio is always, the way I've understood it, been a issue with brackish water. Like if you're way out in the Gulf in super salt water, you don't have an issue with Vibrio. If you're in fresh water, you don't have an issue with Vibrio. It's that in between, which makes our marshes and bay and all that stuff. Brackish water is what makes us great. One of the things that makes us great. But so they say the Mobile River, that's why I'm trying to figure out mm-hmm. where on the, you know, because if it was way up the river, that'd be a story of stories, right? Because that'd be a new place to find Vibrio.
So what they say?
They can't tell us because of HIPAA. But I'm just trying to.
Told you.
Just trying to figure that out. All right, John responded to my question from earlier, too, about the scales here on stories. John says, you're so right. Americans are doing better now than they have in 20 years, 4.1% growth. And all NPR radio can talk about is, oh, this is not sustainable, and it really does not matter because of inflation, et cetera. I sure hope I'm sure if a Dem won the election and it had been 4% growth, there would be ticker tape parade down Broad Street. But then again, no one would have given away for that growth for free college, paying illegal aliens because they were caught entering illegally.
Hey, just so you know, POTUS, Donald J. Trump, has tweeted out 13 minutes ago, great GDP numbers just released. We'll be having a news conference soon.
There you go. I mean, with that, does anything else matter? If you're a pundit trying to throw spaghetti against the wall that is the Teflon Don right now with 4.1% GDP. Right, 837 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. My buddy Trey and his crew doing work in Mobile and Baldwin County. Commercial properties, residential properties, really anywhere. You got junk, you need it gone. You need some backup. You need the pros to move in. He's got you covered. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Also 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, where you can set that appointment time, which I love. Instead of a spectrum window of time, he's going to say, hey, we'll be there on this day at this time. Y'all agree to that meeting. They're there. They give you a quote on the job. And if you say yes, that's the price you pay, even if the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was or not. So use the folks we've used here. The people are using, you'll see that vehicle in your neighborhood or riding around. That's Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Check them out. All right, a couple things on our list here. I do want to get this, and I can't find the full story. I just saw a tweet from Bob Gripp last night, and I think this is great because as we spend so much time talking about local Utes and their athletic prowess, and that's fine. I also like to point out the big brains on some of these children And Bob Gripp tweeted out, big congrats to Griffin Noble, a rising junior and international baccalaureate student at Murphy, who recently learned that he scored a perfect 36 on the ACT.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that good? 36 good on the ACT?
I always love to ask the parents, now, exactly what did you do at these ages so that we can follow suit?
That's awesome because, you know, quite often the ACT, made up of, well, I remember the two halves. It was more like the English side of it, mathematics side. And it's tough to get a brain that works, you know, perfectly on both sides. Some people can stroke the math side and have trouble with the other, or stroke the, you know, the English side and have trouble with the math side. But this young man, obviously a bilateral thinker, right? 36 on the ACT. So Griffin Noble, if you know Griffin, know the family, Griffin Noble, congratulations. Baccalaureate,
job,
international
man.
Baccalaureate student and a rising junior at Murphy. So he's at that point, you'd say, all right, I'm not going to take it again.
Leave it alone.
He's got a year to improve. So,
well, you know what? The principal listens to our show because he tweets us sometimes, and that's the same principal. Remember the family who lost everything in a fire? And the principal was, you know, the mom came to school and didn't mean to tell him about what happened, but it ended up coming out, and he turned to the public and asked for people to help this family. And they donated big, I mean, clothes and shoes and money, like gas cars. Joe Toomey, he's the principal over there, who actually is connected to little Austin.
P. Ryan.
That's right. Yeah. President Austin.
Yes.
He used to teach his dad. Like, it's all that goodness. There's those connectors.
That's right.
I love it.
It's how we roll around here.
That's awesome. That Griffin Noble, he's headed places, I'd say.
So congratulations.
Right.
I mean, when the athletes get signed, they get like a whole news package on them, and that's fine. But I want to point out, too, when the big brains on some of the kids around here. So I'm duly impressed at 36. Good stuff. All right. A couple other things on our list here. The latest here on... I'm trying to understand this.
What?
The latest on the stadium. I saw a story from our news partners at WKRG that said residents of the Hillsdale neighborhood say they are very nervous about the University of South Alabama's plan to build a new on-campus football stadium. They voice their concerns to USA and city officials at a community meeting Thursday night at the Smith Memorial AME Church. Hillsdale sits on the northwest corner of the USA campus where the proposed stadium would be situated. Traffic to and from the games could come through their neighborhood from west off Cody and from north off Ziegler. USA Athletics Director Joe Erdman showed the crowd a proposed plan for traffic flow and parking, but neighbors seemed unimpressed. They worry about heavy traffic on game days in the short term and the fear that in the long term their homes will lose value and will end up being condemned for new ingress roads or for parking. All right. And so they talked to different folks that live there. And this is the flip side, because folks in Maysville don't want Ladd to go, right?
Right.
So the folks, I would say this. If they're worried about, I think a stadium, just from where I sit, a stadium brings value to those homes, does not lose value for those homes. It's, I don't really get that. Do I get somebody saying, you better show me how there's not going to be a huge traffic jam? That's fair. That's fair enough. But the value of the homes, I think you build the kind of facility USA, and this is not even talking about who's paying for what, but let's say the big shiny new stadium is built, then I don't know how that does you damage. I think it's not like it's going to be like shadowing their house. It's going to be nearby, but it's not like they're in the parking lot of this place.
So we attended the chat at Williamson last week, and understandably, it became heated because people are concerned about, you know, what will happen in their neighborhood. They brought up the, you know, Governor Ivey, how she passed a law about historic, monuments.
Yes.
And if it's older than 40 years old, it can't be touched type deal. And one of the questions...
Oh, no, that means Government Plaza one day will be protected by that. Oh, no.
Don't do the eye roll. But also brought up was about the transportation issue as to, you know, the people in that neighborhood, in that area... You know, if you're going to take their taxpayer dollars, right, their tax dollars, and you're going to support a stadium elsewhere, way, way out in far, far land called West Mobile, then how can they go?
Still in the city of Mobile.
But I'm just telling you what happened that night.
Okay.
How can these same people go and support that team? I mean, because, you know, there's from an economical standpoint,
okay,
when you compare the neighborhoods, the zip codes, I mean, you'd have to be Ray Charles to not see that there's a huge difference.
Well, Hillsdale, let me argue this. Hillsdale for property values, those areas may be even less than areas in Maysville. So I don't
pockets.
Know that.
There's pockets.
Well, there's pockets. And here's the, so number one, why they say, well, why would our tax dollars go to fund something out mm-hmm. there? I would point out then, you know, somebody could argue from another part of Mobile, why should their money go to fund the repair of LAD? They don't live in that neighborhood.
I think
they can make that same argument. And then at city council a couple weeks ago, they said, oh, well, this is going to be detriment to the community because they won't be able to park cars and make money for these big events.
Yeah.
Y'all, the day that that's the reasoning,
mm-hmm.
now this is not even pro or con
right.
for the stadium, but the day that our reasoning as a municipality for putting something somewhere is that somebody parks cars twice a year in their front yard, we're not looking forward. That is like short step stuff.
I agree with you. It's got to be more than that.
And I feel like people think that the city or county will be able to stop this, or that they would stop the stadium from being built. I feel like the stadium is going to be built regardless.
Right. Well, they're saying whether they finance it or not.
Right.
But also the Senior Bowl, they've already said they're moving. Mm-hmm. So what are we arguing against now? South is going to have a stadium in a few years on campus, and the Senior Bowl is going to move there. Presumably, the Dollar General Bowl will also move there. So I feel like, you can be upset at the city for investing in it, but it sounds to me like South is saying, all right, city and county, if you want to jump in, jump in, but this thing is probably going to go up regardless.
I don't know. I think there's a number of layers here, and of course, I think it depends on if you live in either area, you're going to have a certain say, and those who are watching from a distance. But when you talk about how, and this was brought up as well, you know, downtown Mobile is starting to bustle, okay? It's blossoming, it's blooming, and if you snatch a stadium away from that area, impacts people who have the downtown people who own businesses, who are entrepreneurs as well, because West Mobile to some is the way some people look at going to Baldwin County. Like, it's just so far away. Some people have that.
But it's still within the same city, though. It all works together as a city. I mean, it is defined as a municipality.
So also that was brought up is that, well, why can't USA fund their own stadium? That was something that was brought up.
The funding part's the issue. But like Dalton said, if it's not funded, it doesn't. They can't say they're not going to build it, because South could find financing elsewhere and build this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just whether
mm-hmm.
the city and the county will be part of it.
Correct.
Or not.
And so others brought up, why not use that money and pour it into, you know, city business, you know, in the city proper, so that other families can enjoy that. Because if you're going to take the stadium away, I think what it is not just taking the stadium, is that nothing will be replaced. And so that's the issue, is that the hole that will be there. What will these people do who really enjoy benefiting from the occasional sporting game? And then the high school games, where will those be played? And so they brought up the contract and the understanding, and it was a tough evening. It was a tough evening. I mean, there's a lot of emotions on both sides. One of the what stood out to me, and I shared with both of you, is that, you know, representatives from USA, not only were they not there, but their seats were there. Okay, so you saw, you know, Mayor Sandy Simpson and then Councilman LaVon Manzi were on stage. And then to the right, what should have been a table full of people, there was the table, there were the chairs, and no one showed up. And so to that community that was in that room, and there are people who don't live in that community, what it says is you don't even care about what it is we have to say and how we feel. Make us part of the conversation. And so we know how optics mean so much. Is what I'm saying.
And I remember reading the story earlier this week after that meeting on Monday, and Mayor Stimson said that the plan originally was to have representatives from South Alabama there with him, but he decided and they decided that this should be a meeting about the residents who live there near LAD Peebles, and that by adding in those representatives mm-hmm. from South Alabama, mm-hmm. that maybe the people wouldn't feel like the meeting was all about their voices being heard.
And I totally understand that, but here's a couple of problems. One is that in the invite, they were mentioned in the invite so that they would be there. So there were people there who were interested in hearing from them. And secondly, there were USA representatives sitting in the audience. So that can play in a double-edged way. Again, it's an emotional issue for people who love their community, no matter where they live, no matter where they're from, that wanted to hear from both sides. Because what they want to make sure is that they're part of the conversation, that they do have a seat at the table, and not just, oh, you're taking our tax dollars and using it to benefit a stadium and a university, which already can ask other people. And there's big sponsors in the area, like Airbus. So I think people just want to be a part of the conversation, and it makes a lot of sense if you're paying your taxes.
All right. We'll be talking about this, I'm sure, now through at least when the city council meets on this. And remind folks, too, the no-named Mazda.
Excuse you. He has a name.
He does have a name.
He does. Yeah.
He's been crowned.
And?
I like it. Thank you, Dalton. Okay. I'm going to give you a couple hints. He is big. He is red. And he pounds the pavement.
Well, okay.
Any guesses?
Clifford?
Yes! Mm-hmm.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes, because he's sweet, but he takes care of business. So he, of course, is the 2018 Mazda CX-9 Touring, which I've been driving for almost 2 weeks now, and they're letting me keep it for another week. I'm enjoying it. We've been telling you all about this vehicle because we've been testing it out as a family. I love talking to the kids and seeing what they like, and everyone chimes in with a little bit of this. But so the middle child, the bonus child, okay, who I call bonus kid,
yes.
We had to put him in the third row because we were transporting a bunch of stuff the other day. My husband had a big party, and so he's 5'8". He sat in the third row and had leg room. I just want you to wrap your head around that, okay? Long-legged.
Right.
So three rows of seating, 7 people can fit in this vehicle. And this is the Touring. You know, you have different levels when you want to purchase a vehicle from Mazda. And this allows you to really get in to the buyer's market. But it's a luxury vehicle minus a luxury tag. So
I like that.
You like that, right? So this has been fun. A lot of fun. A gentleman stopped me at the gas station and was oohing and eyeing over this vehicle because he just had his second or third grandchild. And he's like, we're looking for an SUV, but not so SUVE.
Yes, I know.
So he said he's going over to the all-new D. McCreary Mazda located on the East Service Road of I-65, and you should too.
All right, great
Clifford.
Stuff. Yes, Clifford, the big red Mazda.
Yes!
Yeah. 850 FM Talk 106.5 coming right back. More Mobile Mornings. Right, 854 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. Grab a call here too. And President Trump speaking about that 4.1% GDP right now. We will bring you that audio at the beginning of Midday Mobile today, starting at noon. So if you don't have a chance to catch it now, catch it at noon. All right, go to the phones. And Jim in Mobile first up. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I've just got a question and a thought. The people talking about Ladd Stadium and the people that have the parking concessions, so to speak, in that area, my question is, do they have, number one, any type of license to do that? And number two, the revenue they collect, do they pay any taxes on it?
I have no way to answer that. I don't know that. But I think it's a silly aside, you know, that would be a reason for doing or not doing the move here. I mean, the municipality as a whole needs to make that decision. I understand, and what Kelly's saying is folks in the community want to be engaged in part of the decision-making, but, you know, there are certain things that work for a city overall that may not work for one part of a city. That's a tough thing about being, you know, incorporated and working as a city, that they make this choice here that affects you more than somebody else. You know, it's a... That's one of the dangers of being incorporated. I appreciate the call. Let me point out too. So many people on the text line, and I said it earlier, but on the people that are afraid of the stadium coming, like Dalton said, number one, we're talking about finance. Stadium's going to come if it's going to. It can come without financing from the city and county, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that the property values in Hillsdale are going to be ruined. I mean, the elephant in the room is the fact that it's not exactly very high dollar property, and to say this could be rude, I think it may actually be a benefit to that property.
Yeah, you would think if the university keeps growing, and I think
it would.
And I think South, the reason they're doing this is they think that putting the football stadium on campus will help South Alabama. And if it helps Mobile also, they want the city of Mobile and the county of Mobile to help invest in that if it's going to
And there's
eventually...
the debate. The debate is whether the city and county put any money in it. The idea that saying, well, we want to keep it from happening, well, it's probably going to happen. So,
And I commend the city council and the mayor for having these town hall meetings, having giving the ability for the communities, both that live near South and that live near Ladd People Stadium, to come out and have their voices heard, because it would have been really easy for the council and mayor to just kind of discuss this amongst themselves and come up with their own decision. They didn't have to have these meetings. But I think they've put out, from the things that I've heard, some good ideas for what should happen where Ladd stands now, and a way to save the city money in the long term instead of renovating and putting big money into keeping Ladd Peebles how it is now and making it safer, because they've had some safety issues with just the age of the stadium. But some of the plans I've seen, where they put a walking track out there, maybe a splash pad, something where the community can go out every single day, maybe get some exercise, still go watch high school games, put soccer games there. I like what the city has provided.
One other thing that was brought up is, why rush to make a decision? Because the two-week time frame was brought up, and people were saying, whether this is good for the city itself or the county itself, why not kind of sit on this and allow, you know, the sides to really talk this out? So I agree with you. It's good that the mayor has opened up these discussions and is able to hear from people. But the issue was, why rush to and get to this two-week deadline? Why not extend it? For those who are entrepreneurs who understand that a rush decision doesn't benefit anyone in the long run.
All right, very good. And we'll be doing this again, Midday Mobile, today starting at noon. And I get you the audio of the president's press conference. And I just add the one thing here to the mix. We point out that 38 years ago, a very important thing in my life happened. The movie Caddyshack was released. And with that, I bid you adieu for 3 hours. Y'all have a great weekend.
You were too much.
I'm going to go watch Caddyshack.
Now, I'm going to start working on
Clifford about this.
I'm going to keep working on my GoFundMe page for Mark Zuckerberg. And then we'll
happy friends anniversary.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks.
What'd you buy me?
You know what I bought you. Why don't you just let me?